Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
It is a beautiful morning. I'm doing good, Pastor. You know, I say that every morning, but it's the truth. I am doing good.
Amen.
Because God is good.
Yes, thankful for your prayers coming back yesterday. We had a bit of turbulence. I was not sitting on the window seat or I would have been looking outside. But I was told that it got real dark and black where we were. And I thought, Lord, I just started to pray. And it was then as we were talking over dinner last night, found out that the other three women, my pastor, and the two other ministers I was with, they were praying too. I don't know if God was just answering our prayers as we prayed through turbulence, but I'm grateful that he did. And my pastor had a great birthday yesterday. We started on actually Phoenix time, 10 o'clock, which was 12 o'clock our time. So we sang happy birthday to her. She got birthday cards and gifts in Phoenix and then got on a plane and came back and she got a surprise and it was fun. We had dinner last night and having dinner again tonight with our church. And so I know she had a wonderful day. So thanking God for my pastor, thanking God for giving her a beautiful and wonderful birthday. Thanking all of you for coming in and listening to Mother Valerie. And this morning, Mother Valerie will be coming out of Isaiah chapter 57 through 58. And then I'll be back with our Psalm and Proverbs and Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 through 16. And for those, in love, light, and wisdom. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. Pray us in, all yours.
Good morning, people of God. It's a beautiful day. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank and praise you for who you are. You said, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah is the highest praise because that's what you said. And I'm repeating your words back to you. Thank you, God, for waking us up. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sunset. God, bless this program. Bless the hearers of your word. And let the program go the way you want it to go. Hide me and let you be seen and pastors and let everybody just praise the Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm coming out of Isaiah 57 and 1 and it says, the righteous perish. No man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from the evil. You know, a lot of times when people die and they are righteous and they're from the church, I read this to them. The righteous perish, no one takes it to heart, that they're taken away from the evil. And I know when your loved ones died, you don't want to hear that, but that's what the Bible says, that they're taken away from the evil. He shall enter into peace. They should rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But come here, you sons of the sorcerers, you offspring of the adulterer, the harlot. Whom do you ridicule? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and stick out the tongue? Are you not children of transgressors, offspring of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with gods under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream? Is your portion they that are your lot? Even to them you have poured a drink offering. You had offered a grain offering. Shall I receive comfort in thee? On a lofty in high mountain you set your bed. Even there you went up to offer sacrifice. Also behind the doors and their posts, you have set up your remembrance. For you have uncovered yourself to those other than me and have gone up to them. You have enlarged your bed and made a covenant with them. You have loved their bed. When you saw their nudity, you went to the king with ointment and increased your perfume. You sent your messengers far off and even descended to Shiloh. You are wearied in the length of your way, yet you did not say, there is no hope. You have found the light of your hand, therefore you were not grieved. And of whom have you been afraid or feared that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken it to your heart? Is it not because I have held my peace from of old that you do not fear me? I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you. When you cry out, let your children of idols deliver you. And I'm saying let your children of idols deliver you if they can, but we know that they cannot. You cannot make something with your own hands. Now, you don't make this idol with your own hands. It seems utterly ridiculous that you bow down to it. This is something that you created with your own hands. It's almost like bowing down to yourself. Let your collections of idols deliver you. You bow down to the idol like they bow down to the calf, and they made that with their own hands. That can't deliver you. I mean, man can be, I can't quite follow that line of thinking, what the children of Israel did, bowing down to a calf and said, an old cow, deliver me. But the wind will carry them all away, and breath will take them. If he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And one shall say, heap it up, prepare the way. Prepare the way. We're supposed to be imitative. The title today is Be Imitative of God. Be an imitative of God. Do what Jesus do. As to say, what will Jesus do? What will Jesus say? And if we think like that before we speak, then we would be okay. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? They take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. No, it said take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. Do you know God gets angry? He gets angry. God laughs at his enemies. He said, nor will I always be angry. God gets angry at his children. He gets angry at his children. He gets angry at the people that are not his children. He gets angry. We are made in the image of Almighty God. It said be an imitator of God. We're to be imitators of God. So we get angry. And they say don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, repent and forgive. My Lord, we get angry, God gets angry. For the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made from the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry. God said, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry. He went on backsliding in the way of his heart. He said, I was angry. God said, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry. I've seen his ways and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners. I created the feet of the lips. Peace, peace. to him who's far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You know, a lot of times when people are doing evil, they know that they're doing evil and dirty things. And the Bible says, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And then they want to lay their little head down and go to sleep and everything be peaceful. The Bible says, there is no peace. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. That's amazing. There is no peace. But I like it, verse 16. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. God said he won't be angry forever. I mean, God gets angry. That's amazing. And chapter 58, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As the nation that did righteousness did not forsake the ordinance of their God, says to me the ordinance of justice, they take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted that day, and you've not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? Why? Why? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labor. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul? Is it a blow? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush? Spread out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him? Not hide yourself from your own flesh, that you light, that your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your right guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry, satisfy your afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water, whose spring, whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the bleach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. All those are good. And now I'm going to read some of life's lessons. Isaiah 57:11. Is it not because I have held my peace from of old that you do not fear me? God said he held his peace from of old, and you do not fear me? The silence of God leaves many to believe either that he doesn't exist or that he doesn't care enough to make himself obvious. Both are mistaken. The Lord can roar, but he prefers to speak in a shepherd's voice. John 10:16. God can roar, but then he acts like a lamb. He can be a lamb and he can be a lion. He can be anything that he wants to be. Isaiah 57:15. I dwell in high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. The Lord longs for an intimate relationship with us. Time spent in communication with him is the best way to grow close to him as we recognize his majesty and our own need. The Lord is like a king. Okay, like if we were born over in Europe, they recognize the king and the queen, and they actually bow down to their king and queen. The Lord is above all that. He is most magnificent. God is majesty. It said he's majesty, and he recognized our need. We need the Lord. Oh, my goodness gracious. We need the Lord. We need the Lord in every single thing we attempt to do. We can't do nothing. Nothing. And I recognize that. I recognize that every single day. It's God that wakes me up. I need the Lord. It's God that helps me move my knees and speak the word and talk and be able to see, brush my teeth, and walk with my own feet. It's God. We need the Lord. Let everything that have breath, everything, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. We need the Lord. We need him. We need him. And if people can't see that God is real, well, I hope one day that they can see that we need the Lord and that God is real. Isaiah 58:6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, that you break every yoke? God expects that the righteousness he puts in our hearts through faith in Christ will work its way out into acts of justice and mercy for the oppressed, disadvantaged around us, because we have received, we give. Now, I tell you, a person that gives. As Pastor Bridget and Pastor Jesse, both of them are giving individuals. Our Pastor Jesse, she just don't know how to keep things to herself. I believe she'll give her last penny. She just gives. She gives. She helps people that are in need, and especially the people in her church. She wants us all to prosper. And she said one day she's going to look out on the parking lot and everybody out there will drive the car that they want to drive. And then Pastor Bridget, my Lord, she's the same way. She gives, gives, gives. And they say the more you give, the more you prosper. And I see that. Give, just give. Don't try to hold it. Because when you need something, it'll be right there. And another thing I find true, people that give, the people that they give to, I know that person appreciated at the time, but don't expect that person, that individual, that same person to give back to you. Sometimes it don't work like that. When you give to someone, help someone, somebody else will give to you. A person that you give to might not be able to help you. And even if they are able to help you, sometimes they won't. Don't look for it back. But God will reward you with somebody else helping you. And you'll be surprised when you actually need help and need something to be done. It comes in strange ways, different ways. God sends you help, and he sends you help from people that you never, I didn't think that they would do that. That's because of who you are, because of who you are. Every time you want to go somewhere, somebody's going to do something for you. Every time you need something fixed around your property, somebody's going to step up to the plate. And you said, well, gee, yeah. I didn't know that person did that. I didn't know that. That's because, Pastor Bridget, you're such a giving woman. If anything goes wrong at your house, somebody's going to step up to the plate, and they're going to fix it for you. And when it'd be people that you didn't even expect could do that or would do that, that's because you are a giver. You don't try to hold on. God has prospered you, and you don't try to hold tightly to what God has given you. You let it go. You let it go. And Pastor Jessie is another person. She don't try to hold on to everything that she's got. She lets it go. Just let it go. That's what givers do. They don't, they don't think nothing, especially if it's a real reason that you need something. They just do it without even thinking about it. You know, well, Pastor, I need such and such. I need this. I need that. And they will help you. All churches are helping churches to begin with. Table of Life Ministries, 5700. Now, I forgot the address right now.
2600 South 5th Street. Mother Valerie, would you please do me a favor and read verses 13 and 14 of Isaiah? Because so many times folks forget the Sabbath. You know, it's like, oh, that's my day of rest. I'm sleeping in today. I'm going to be at the bedside service this morning. You know, those kind of comments. I go to the church of me and my coffee, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, the Lord has told us even in the book of Isaiah that the Sabbath is important. So if you would read verses 13 and 14 one more time.
13. You know what? My daughter, little Valerie, she always keeps the Sabbath. And she said, Mama, you don't keep the Sabbath? I said, baby. She said, well, Mama, you need to start keeping the Sabbath. And she said, Mama, the Sabbath is Saturday. It said, verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's the Sabbath. Mm. And people say they can make the Sabbath any day they want to, but God didn't say that. The word says Sabbath is Saturday. It's Saturday. They say, well, if you don't make the Sabbath Saturday, well, you can make it Sunday. You can say Tuesday, Monday, or Wednesday is Sabbath, and I'll take
that
day.
That's not the word.
But what the word says.
That's not the word.
He didn't say. He said, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. The Sabbath is a holy day of rest. On the seventh day, God rests, and he calls it the Sabbath. We are to be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God. That's the word for today. So on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, folks, it is Saturday. The Sabbath is Saturday. We and call the Sabbath of delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable. And stop doing your own thing. And you know what? A lot of times people need to rest, and they don't even know it themselves. A lot of times I see the saints at the church, Michelle, Washington, Carla, Pastor Bridget, Pastor Jesse. I mean, I can just look at them ladies and I said, you need to go home and take a rest. Take a rest. Take a rest. These individuals are some of the most busiest people. Oh, my goodness. They be doing, and sometimes they don't even know. They don't stop. Okay, the church house, they be busy. They be busy with the family, and I just hope that on Saturday, I mean, Pastor Bridget be doing the children and doing this, doing for the family. She don't stop. So I hope on Saturday, the Sabbath, that she takes a rest. Not only this, Pastor Bridget holds down a job. I mean, wait, that lady got energy. She holds down a job. She takes care of the family. She works with the children. She never says no. Oh, my gosh.
I've learned that. That is being an assignment of God.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. because she is a servant. She reminds me of Jesus.
Amen.
It said, when can you be, when do we be most like Jesus? When do we be most like Jesus? It's when you're doing for others. And this woman of God, she does for others. She do for others. And it said, I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the herds of Jacob your father. The mouth, see, this is God speaking. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And Pastor Bridget, you know, I can't say enough about her. I really can't. Except that she is doing what the Lord is telling her to do. And a lot of times I say, rest, my sister, rest. She needs rest. And people don't realize, I think sometimes they put so much upon her that sometimes she don't even see it. She just do it. She's a door. She is really, truly a wonderful daughter to know. She's a blessed woman of God. And, you know, they say, don't praise yourself. Let somebody else praise you. Well, I'm praising her this morning because she do the works of Jesus. She do that. And then she tried to do more. And I would like for her to sit down. And you know what? She even sings in the choir. She's got a beautiful voice, people. She sings for the Lord. I'm not talking about that Baptist singing that I do. Pastor Bridget got a beautiful voice. She go to choir rehearsal. Ooh-wee. All that energy. And she uses it for the Lord. She uses it for other people. She pours out herself. And it's a wonderful blessing to know her. Just like at the last minute, I said, Pastor, can you take me to St. Louis for my sister's birthday? And you know what? She said, sure. Just like that, sure. I'll take you on the 8th of October to see Rita for her birthday. She said, oh, my gosh, Rita is listening. I didn't mean to tell that because Rita is listening. But anyway, the secret is out. Pastor Bridget and I will be there. You know what? I can just go on and on and on and on about Pastor Bridget and Pastor Jesse. I mean, you look at these two women, Pastor Michelle and Carla. I can go on and on and on about what I know about these females. They are servants of the Most High God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Yeah. She's a work in, my mother is a work in progress, everybody. She's a work in progress. Because I was like, no, don't tell that. But anyway, I thank God for what he has done in my life. And the one thing that, you know, I learned as a child growing up, that you pay it forward. That the blessings that God gives you, you pay it forward. Because God wants us to be, not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So I thank God this morning for his grace and for his mercy and for his goodness and his kindness. And I want to walk and not just talk it. You know, as to say, be imitators of God in love. And we, our title for today is to walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. And I ask God daily, Lord, give me more wisdom. And, Mother, I am learning to say no. I am learning to say no. You can't do everything.
I have yet
to see it. You can't be everything. You just don't see it. I say no. And this is what it says in our psalm this morning. And we are coming out of the 114th psalm, verses 1 through 8. And it says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back. O mountain, that you skipped like rams, O little hills like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of water. And it says this in our life lesson for the 114th Psalm, verse 7. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. There are at least two kinds of trembling in Scripture. Both describe genuine fear in the presence of overwhelming power, but one takes quaking pleasure in the power, while the other sees it as only destruction. And,
my
Mother,
Lord,
you lived in California, so you know earthquakes are no joke. Earthquakes are no joke. People have lost lives. You know, tsunamis and flooding, no joke. You know, but when God does what God does, everything is for a reason. You know, I was, we were in Arizona over the weekend, and my pastor got a call that there had been a shooting at her job, which she retired from, but she still works there part-time, and my grandchild works there. So I called my granddaughter to make sure that she was okay, and she said, I got off at 3. And it just, a young man was killed by the police. But
amen.
You have folks that would want to be up in arms. They didn't have to do this. This young man had gotten a gun into a juvenile detention center. I want folks to think on that. This kid got a gun into a secure facility. A secure facility. Shot someone and had a gun on her when he was shot. So it wasn't, they could have did this or that, possibly. But there was a situation. And understand that we all go through our situations in life, but God wants us to be imitators of him. And that means walking in love. That means walking in light. That means walking in wisdom. If you have an ought against someone, you need to go to that person and say, listen, you hurt my feelings. You said this, that, or the other. And sometimes you find out that what he said, she said, is not what was said. You know, folks will come running to you to tell you that, well, you know, such and such said this, that, or the other about this. If you didn't hear from such and such's mouth, it's hearsay. And you don't need to take it in. You take it with a grain of salt and keep it moving. And if it bothers your spirit and you're getting angry and upset, then you walk over and you talk to that person and say, you know, I was told you said this, that, and the other about me. You know, I forgive you. I don't have time to be angry at you or anyone else. If you have a situation or ought against me, you tell me. And we need to learn how to do that more often, because so many times we allow folks to break up our churches, break up our communities, break up marriages because of he said, she said. Well, I said this. You know, well, I saw her husband, and he was out with this woman. You didn't know that that woman he was out with was his boss, and he was at a business meeting. What you didn't understand was this woman was a colleague, and they were having a business meeting. But you go and run to the wife and say, I think your husband is cheating. If somebody's running to her husband, I think your wife is cheating. And that causes confusion. But it happens all the time. You know, where women who are in professions can't even go out with their colleagues because somebody who sees them to put more to it than what it is. You know, we've got to change our ways and quit being in everybody else's business. You know, and this is what the Word of God says in Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are like tasty truffles. They go down into the innermost body. And that's what that folks love to hear gossip. Ooh, and what did they say? Ooh, and what? Ooh, and I heard. The I heard crowd. and the if it was me need to warm my island. And they all need to stay on it. Well, if it was me, well, I heard. You know, if it was me, I heard. Well, if it was me, I heard. And that's what you have all day, foolishness. But the Lord is there for us to walk in wisdom. And as we go into Ephesians chapter 5, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. You know, we want to, as children, imitate our dad. You know, little boys, when you see, I got a picture of my baby son, my youngest son. You know, I know he's not a baby anymore, but he'll always be my baby. When he was little, he decided, he thought he was going to shave like that and took toothpaste and put it all over his face because he was going to shave like that. And only thing sitting, and he done climbed up on the counter, looking in the mirror in the bathroom, and put toothpaste all over his little face. I didn't know what to do, except for get my camera and take a picture. And so I got a picture of him with the toothpaste all over his face. And then I had to wash his little face, but it was funny as everything to me, because he was trying to be like dad. And that's what we want to be, like our dad. We want to be like God. We want to be imitators of like our Father as dear children and walk in love. Did God say walk in hate? Did God say we're going to go and tear them up? We're going to kill this person. This person needs to be dead. This person, because they talking about me, so y'all need y'all to go out and get them. Da-da-da. Is that of God? And I'm speaking to Christians who follow after folks that lie, cheat, and steal, but they want to act like they are good, and they're not. They are not of God. The word of God says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
Amen.
Stuff that is not of God, it stinks. We got to understand that. You know, a liar and a fornicator, it stinks. An adulterer and a liar cheat, it stinks. It's not right. And it tells us in the word of God, but fornication and all uncleanliness are covetousness. Let it not even be named among you as a fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Come on now. Everything that you think about is in the word of God. Nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. But this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God, let no one deceive you with empty words, but because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be a partaker with them. We cannot walk in darkness. God wants us to walk in light. We can't follow after everybody because they say something we'd like to hear. Evil is evil. Wrong is wrong. Don't call yourself sitting in a pulpit talking this, that, and the other, and not look at what and whom you're talking about. I have never in my life seen where good is looked at as bad and bad is looked at as good. You know, we have changed the vernacular. Ooh, he is so bad. Meaning he's so good. No, why don't you just say, he is really a good guy? Why do you say, ooh, he's bad. He's really bad. No, he's not bad. He's light. He's love. He's wisdom. He's not bad. And we got to quit making bad good and good bad. Folks that sat in church, vilified, talked about, drug through the mud, and folks that don't step foot in the church, lifted up and talked about how wonderful they are and how much they love the Lord.
My Lord. Huh.
But we want to claim this person is bad and this other person is another. We've got to look at ourselves. If you follow after darkness, you cannot be in light. If you are sitting around sleep, talking about, well, I can't stand awoke. Excuse me, Mother.
Hello.
I'd rather be woke than asleep. Because when you're asleep, you might be dead. Let me be awoke. I want to be woke. I want to know what the Word of God says. I want to be woke to listen to what thus says the Lord. I want to be woke to know when Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds. I want to be woke like the five brides that had the extra oil and made it in, as the others that had to go buy their oil said, oh, wait a minute, can you let us in? Uh-uh. You missed the mark. You came too late. The doors
Amen.
Of this church are closed. You know,
Amen.
The heaven's gates have been opened and closed while you was running around looking for oil because you didn't bring the extra. We got to bring the oil. Come on now. And it says this, therefore do not be partakers with them. Let me go back to verse 6. And it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. All I got
Amen.
To say is, and please forgive me for bringing politics into this word, but it's so apropos. All these people going into thousands who are in jail today because of January 6th insurrection, I want to ask so vividly, was it worth it? Was it worth your family? Was it worth your job? Was it worth your love of those that know you and the respect that you may have had in your community to go and lose your mind over what one person said? And I say this, we have got to be careful because this may just be a precursor to the rise of Antichrist. God is showing us something. Say this, not to be political, but God is showing us how easy it is for people to follow after bad character. How
Amen.
Easy it is for the Antichrist to come. All he has to be is a superstar, has his name in lights, and follow after it. We have got to be careful. This spirit that's inside of you, will God will give you wisdom, because this is what he says. But you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the spirit is righteousness and truth. Come on now. Just because somebody labels something truth don't mean that it's true. You got to look at the underneath. As they say, you got to shake that dirt out, because the truth
Amen.
Is the truth. And God will let everybody know there is only one God, and it is the one that resides in heaven with his Son sitting on the right hand of him and the Holy Spirit speaking through us to him. We better understand. Don't put anybody on a pedestal and make them bigger and better than God, because God will bring them down and you with them. Nobody is better than God. I'm not anywhere near Jesus. I am so not. I trust God. I believe in God, and I try to do what the Word of God says. Not perfect. I'm still in transition, still working through that door to be that bride with our extra oil. I believe in God that I will one day sit at the feet of Jesus. Whew, that's where I want to be, gaining all that knowledge.
Man.
And Mother, I want to be right where I'm supposed to be, in the presence of God, doing what is right and what is righteous. And when you need to say no, I ask God, give me discernment to say, I can't do that. and no, I can't do it. Because you do what you can and what you can't, you better learn how to say no. We got to trust God. And then it goes on to say, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Is it acceptable to the Lord to go and beat up an old man with a hammer? And then someone say and laugh it off like it's no big deal.
My
just
Lord.
Because their wife is a politician? Come on now, people. That's not God. That's not of God. God wants us to love each other. I don't care what your political affiliation is. Are you a good person? Do you love the Lord? Do you put God first over everything else? Do you care about your fellow man? Are you trying to hurt widows and orphans and senior citizens? That's the thing we've got to look at, the character of a person and not a political party. I was undone when I heard a pastor preaching from the pulpit that if you were a Democrat, you were a demon, and to get out of his church because his church was only a Republican. And I just thought about that, and I said, and when did God become a political party affiliation? When did a church become about the politics of the world? That's not godly. That's not of God. And if you are in a church where the word of God is not open and politics is talked more than God is, pack up your Bible and get out. I was so grateful to go, and I'm shouting it out, in Phoenix, Arizona, Faith Christian Center. Awesome, 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 awesome word of God. Pastor Young and Vibrant, and oh my goodness, that man walked the word of God. I watched him take the word of God and make it so everybody could understand it. And the memorization of scripture, and I know he was telling it right. And in context, mother, he preached so I could understand why people of God chose his church. It was wonderful. Mm. It was a wonderful service. And at the end of service, he stands by a little tent where he can greet people and give them a snack, a drink. All new visitors meet the pastor, and they have they have coffee, they have snacks, they have tea, best sweet tea I ever had in my life. Just wonderful community. Three services, and all of them were packed. Wow, God, look at you. Using the young people to bring in young people. And that's what we need. Our old church will not last. You got to have children. As the Lord has said, dear children is what he called us. We got to have children in our churches. And it tells us this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what we got to do. We can't be ashamed to say that is not right. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, wait, awake, you who sleep. Up! I think God just said, you got to be woke, mama. God just said, you got to be woke. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming that the time, because the days are evil. You better listen. God has said, stay woke. Awake. That's what God said. You know, I'm going to go with God. I don't care what any politician says. I don't care what anybody, well, they are woke. Yes, I am. I'm awake now. I'm going to be awake when Jesus comes. Because I want to be able to see the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be the one taken up in the cloud because I was awake. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo, Jesus. And it says a child's first image of God. A child's first image of God is his or her earthly father. We Christians spend a lot of time discussing ways to protect or improve our witness. We need to live our faith in front of coworkers and friends, but in the privacy of our home. We also want our family to see Jesus in us. If we show forgiveness, patience, and acceptance, then our children will expect to find those traits in the Lord. In a similar way, negative behaviors, for example, consistent harshness, busyness, or emotional neglect also shape a child's view of God. I remember a young man who came to me, and this is Dr. Charles Stanley speaking, worried about his salvation. He had received Christ as his personal Savior, but wasn't convinced that he was truly forgiven. When I opened the scriptures to share some assurances with him, he responded, "I believe them, but I'm not sure God's promises apply to me." He seemed surprised when I then asked about his relationship with his father. During our conversation, it came out that his dad had often made promises he failed to keep. Y'all caught that, right? Now, years later, the son lacked certainty that God would keep his word. Being a reflection of the Heavenly Father requires no special skills. The only training God we need is the Bible, this basic instruction before leaving earth. By approaching fatherhood as an area of service and ministry, all men are able to be successful dads. As with any service rendered for God, the Holy Spirit offers fathers wisdom and guidance in the raising of children. I know there are some that will say, "Well, he didn't say anything about mothers raising their children, and mothers are just as important as fathers, and da da da." I like to say this. A father is important. I am grateful. Every day, I thank my mother who bore me for giving me parents, for giving me
Amen.
A mother and a father, for giving me
Amen.
Mother and father who were examples, who loved me. The reason I'm like I am today is because I had godparents who didn't mind stepping into the gap, who didn't mind
Amen.
Taking in their godchild, who didn't mind being parents. Older parents
Amen.
They were, but they were my parents, and they raised
Amen.
Me well. And I thank God for my mother for always still being in the picture, never just throwing me over and said, "Oh, I'm done." No, she was always graduations at different events. And even as my children have aged, my mother has never left, has never missed an important event. There for
Amen.
Both graduations, there for my ordination, there for all the things that were important to me.
Important.
I'm thankful
Amen.
For that. We got to understand we are important to God, and he wants us to walk in light. He wants us to walk in love. He wants us to walk with wisdom. Don't let anybody talk you into darkness. And understand, ask God for discernment. You know, I say it, voting is important. Ask God, "Lord, who do I vote for? Who is
mm-hmm.
of you? Who is of
mm-hmm.
life? Who is of love? Who is of wisdom? Lord, don't let me bring darkness into this world because of my own personal prejudice and bigotry." And they're saying what I like to hear. What is right in your sight? We've got to talk to God. As the song says, we need to have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about
Amen.
Our troubles. We got to have that talk with the Lord. You know, and it was another lady, Miss Chippy Mass, what she say? Turn it over to the Lord, and he'll work it out. Jesus will work it out if you let him. That's the key, if you let him. Let us let the Lord bring in the love, the light, and his wisdom into our lives today. And let us remember, stay woke, because I'm going to tell you something. Those that are sleeping are going to miss out on walking through the door. Mother, I'm going to be awake because I want to walk in with Jesus. Come on now. And this is what Sister Carolyn has to say this morning. Everything God does is what? Right. Whether we like it or not, have a trust in Tuesday. Let's have a trust in God Tuesday, family. Let's walk in his love. Let's walk in his light. Let's walk in the wisdom that God has given you. If there's anybody who has a word this morning, now is the time to put that one on your device. And for those that listen in on social media, if you ever want to be able to speak, call 213-943-3597 and push the number 1 in your line. We'll be open again. Our number is 213-943-3597. You have been listening to Moving Forward on Blog Talk Radio with Mother Valerie and Pastor Bridget. I just call me Minister Bridget. I was a minister first. And I thank God for his grace, his mercy, his goodness, and his kindness. And as we get ready to depart, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day. And if anybody is not walking in love, they hyper, they just seem like they have a cloud over them, and then they just talk foolishness. Walk away. I say it again. Walk away. You are of love. You are of light. You are of wisdom. Ask God for discernment. You know, the color, the help. You are kind. You are beautiful. You know, we got to each other and say, you are kind. We got to be kind and loving. You are light and you are wisdom. Speak that over your children. Speak that over your own life. I am love. I am light. I have wisdom. And watch God work in your life. Thank you so much, family. Thank you, Mother Valerie. Thank everybody. We love you. We care about you. We want the best for you. Come join us again tomorrow morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Have a great day, everybody. Woo, have a blessed day, everybody. Mother Valerie, thank you for joining me this morning. It is awesome to have you. Mother Rita, we will see you since somebody spilled the beans. Understand God willing. And we will give you a big old hug. Love you so much, family. Have a blessed day. It is, as we say, on Moving Forward, wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.